This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number three. And by the way, because it's Tuesday, and Ron, I think this is one of the reasons you came back today. You know, maybe you're feeling better, but top five, bottom five. Oh, why would you miss the show?
It's the only reason why I came back today.
Top five, bottom five coming up. So we'll give you the best and the worst of the National Football League. Could be shaken up a little bit. You never know. So stick around for that. And also Wilson Alexander on what the latest is in Baton Rouge regarding the parting of ways with Ed Orgeron coming up at the end of this season. Also, Nick Rolovich has been let go at Washington State. He is a public employee. And because, you know, he's the head coach at a public school and all public employees needed to be vaccinated, he decided not to get vaccinated. Dan Wolkin, who appears on our show a number of times. He is a columnist at USA Today, and he's got a column out today that says he doesn't feel sorry for Rolovich, not because he decided not to get the vaccine. It is because Rolovich decided not to get the vaccine but never really stood on a reason why. I'll be honest with you. I don't think you should have to explain why. You just need to know what the consequences are. And if you don't want the vaccine but you know what the consequences are, and you just accept those, you don't necessarily need. I don't think he was going to get a pass, right? I don't think he was going to get it wasn't going to be like every federal employee or state employee in Washington has to get the vaccine except Nick Rolovich because he stood on a soapbox for this or that or religion or whatever it may be. I don't think he owed anybody an explanation, but because of what's going on in his particular state, he has to accept the consequences of this, and now he's looking for a new head coaching job, which I do think he will get, obviously in a state that doesn't have these same kind of mandates. But we'll get into more on the LSU situation with Ed Orgeron, who I do think will land on his feet just fine, but he has $17 million coming to him, and he won a national title at LSU. Despite all of this other stuff about, you know, what was going on behind the scenes and off the field and the fact that he was, you know, coaching for an athletic director that didn't hire him, I think an Orgeron can make a very good living just kind of playing it out in Baton Rouge as a coach that brought a national title to that school. We'll see where he goes. But coming up, the top five teams in the NFL, as done by Ron and I, next on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, time for top five, bottom five, the best and the worst after 6 weeks of the NFL. We usually do the top five first, so that's where we're going to go. And I said this last week. I said this the week before that. I said this the week before that. My goodness, there's so many good teams right now. And you kind of expect that. We're still very early into the season. But my goodness, there are teams I left off where I'm just like, I have to find a way to put them in. But I don't want to do a 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. I had to pick five. So this is the five I got. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right, number five. So I put the Baltimore Ravens. What a win against the Chargers. My God. Here's the deal. The Chargers can't stop the run. And so the Ravens just went, you know, it's kind of what we do best. And they ran the ball. Lamar Jackson only 167 yards passing on the day, two interceptions, but they ran the ball and ran it well in a 34-6 win. But the week before that, they threw the ball and threw it a lot in their victory. So the Ravens look really sharp to me. They are number five on my list.
Yeah, that one really hurt, by the way.
I know.
I think part of the reason why I came down with something Sunday.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Because it was just a bad sports day for me. You know, Dodgers lose. I'm like, you know what? Monday is not happening for me.
And by the way, I was saying Monday, Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, Latavius Murray, they all scored. It's like, hey, if you at one time ran the football, come over here.
Exactly.
We'll have you. Well, we could use you.
Did you have any success with an NFL team prior to this season?
Contact John Harbaugh today. You could be the next Baltimore starting running back.
It was amazing. I didn't even know Le'Veon Bell was on that team until he scored.
I did not either until he scored.
Thanks, Ravens.
I was like, wow.
Number five for me. Number five for me. I didn't have him in my top five last week, so I decided to put them in my top five this week, and that's the Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah.
You know, you can't deny it anymore. What, they're 5-1 rolling through. It's been pretty impressive. The running game has figured it out. A lot of teams always talk about wanting to have a two-headed monster. You know, we haven't really seen a really successful two-headed monster since Bo Jackson, Marcus Allen. I'm trying to think of more recent two-headed monster at running back where you can give the ball to either one and it was just going to be lights out all day. I think we might have it in the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard, yeah. Exactly. And Dak Prescott throws the ball really well.
And he throws the ball really well.
They're hitting you on offense and defense. I mean, on passing and rushing.
This team looks legit and maybe might give Jerry Jones, what is it, 30 years?
96.
So not at least 25.
Right.
Might give him a first title since 25 years ago, which is a huge drought for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I have Dallas at 4, so let's keep this thought going. Plus, Trevon Diggs has like 7 interceptions this season. We've only played 6 games.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
That's a fun stat.
That is. That's like when a guy gets a home run in like his first Major League Baseball game, and they're like, he's on pace for 162.
Exactly.
Trevon Diggs is averaging over an interception a game. The NFL record, I think, is 14.
It's already halfway there.
In one season. And he's already halfway there.
And why shouldn't we not see him go for it? I mean, unless quarterbacks completely stop throwing to his side. But, you know, I mean, that's how dynamic of a player he is.
Well, you know what's funny? I was reading an article that kind of breaks down, like, super stats. And they were talking about how Diggs, one of the things, you know, he'll get you the interception. But because he's so aggressive doing so, he gives up a lot of big plays. So it's like this kind of marriage between the two. But he came up with that pick six with Mac Jones late in the fourth quarter. That looked like that was going to be it. But then Jones came right back at him and threw the touchdown pass, and we went back and forth. That was a good win for Dallas, though, on the road against a Patriots team. That's no joke. I mean, the Patriots may be 2-4, but Belichick is going to draw a game plan against you.
Yeah. Number four for me, this is where I have the Ravens.
Ravens, okay.
And it's simply because their win over the Chargers, I felt, was better quality than the Cowboys' win over the Patriots. I think the Chargers are a much better team. And so what I was really looking at was the fact, not so much what the Ravens did on offense against the Chargers, but what they did on defense to stop Justin Herbert in that offense.
Yep.
That was incredible. And I'm hoping NFL teams everywhere, or the Ravens just in general, and the Chargers, and the NFL, burn that video immediately. Because I do not need other teams to watch that video and go, this is all we need to do to stop the Chargers?
Right, yeah.
I need that to be erased from existence. I need that to be part of the Mandela effect of saying, yeah, wasn't there a team that was able to stymie Justin Herbert? No, not anymore. Needs to be completely erased from our consciousness forever.
The big thing was they stopped them on third down over and over again. And fourth down, too. So
they just knew. And that's all I can say. They just knew what that Chargers offense was thinking before they did. And, you know, that really made it a long day.
All right. Now, number three on my list, this is where I put the Buffalo Bills. At 4-2, they're not a one-loss team or an undefeated team, but they're in my top five, even though they lost last night. Okay, they went up against Derrick Henry. He's hard to stop. Every team that has gone up against the Titans, when he gets going, he's difficult to stop. But the Bills' offense did score 31 points. They did go for it on fourth and short, came up short, but still had an offense that was productive. Josh Allen threw for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. The defense, again, can't stop Derrick Henry, but did a pretty good job. Otherwise, they didn't really get to Tannehill, so it wasn't a huge day for them. But I still felt, even after that game, that they are the best team in the AFC. So that's why I put them at number three.
I'm with you. But at number three for me, I have the Rams here.
Rams, okay.
The Rams. I'm really, I'm impressed with what's going on with them right now. They're quickly becoming just a juggernaut of a team that at times is the conversation in the NFL, and at other times we kind of forget that they're even in the NFL. And I think that's a good position for them to be in because not a lot of people are – it feels like nobody's really paying attention to him right now. Matt Stafford, he was exactly what the Rams needed. His this connection he has with Cooper Kupp is dangerous.
They beat the Giants so badly as if they paid them for the privilege of playing them.
Yeah.
And we left town, and I hope you enjoy rebuilding your program.
This was,
here's some cash.
What it felt like on Sunday was that this was the tune-up game.
Oh, goodness gracious, yes.
You know, this was that week one, week two in college football where, you know, some school paid for the privilege and honor of being a nationally televised game just to get roll stomped on live TV. And that's exactly what happened with the Giants.
They totally agree completely. Two, this is where I put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Interesting couple of weeks for the Bucs. They had the big emotional game in New England that really drew out the emotions for Tom Brady, who didn't particularly play well in that game, but it was understandable, but nevertheless pulled out a win. Then he threw 5 touchdowns in a rout against the Dolphins. Then it was a short week against the Eagles in Philadelphia. So it was 3 games in 12 days, and they won all 3. They are 5-1. Their only hiccup was to the Rams earlier this season, but Brady leads the league in passing. There are some things that doesn't feel like the same kind of team yet, but they still win. And long as Brady wins, they win, and they're 5-1, so they're my number 2 team in the league.
Yeah, funny enough, I left the Buccaneers off this list this
week. Wow, all right.
Nothing to do with them at all. It was just, I think I wanted to highlight the Cowboys. I wanted to talk about the Cowboys, Ravens, and Rams, because I haven't yet.
Right.
But number 2 for me, this is where I had the Bills.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, 4-2. They lost a close one yesterday. Could have gone either way. Had they kicked the field goal, pushed it overtime, maybe they would have won. Who knows? Well, those are questions that we'll ask another time. But I still think that this is the team to beat in the AFC.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's Mahomes and the Chiefs anymore. They are not afraid of anybody. They just ran into a Titans team that really wanted to show up on the grand stage at home.
They did, and that's right. I mean, the game was at home. You know, game was on a road game. It was against a team that was not desperate, but certainly didn't want to fall to 3-3 on the season and a loss to a team that they wanted to be competitive with.
Right.
And Derrick Henry got going. There was opportunities for Derrick Henry to exploit some holes, and he did. That's what he does. So again, I'm with you as what I said about Buffalo. I don't think this loss takes anything away from me thinking that, it's fool's gold or there's a vulnerability there. Allen is still magnificent, absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, and that's why, we can talk about that 4th-and-1 at nauseam.
Oh, sure.
I don't think it was a bad call.
No, and again, if you rewatch it, Allen slips just a little bit, enough where he doesn't quite get his footing. I think he would have gotten it if he did.
I can't remember the Titans defender name. Maybe he pushed him enough to get him off balance.
Jeff Simmons came in.
He was looking for it. I think everyone was looking for it. You saw the way that much. If the only thing I might have done is I might have audibled out of it or done a fake audible just to get them to break up because you saw their defense all crowd the middle.
They were ready for that.
They knew it was coming. I think if Josh Allen had a do-over, he would be like, maybe I would have done a fake audible just to get them to break up or actually audible out of it. But, hindsight's always 20/20.
All right, number one. I'm assuming you have the same number one as me. It's Arizona.
It's got to be.
6-0. They won against Cleveland without Cliff Kingsbury on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. And it was 37-14 for crying out loud.
It feels like we have to give them respect now.
Yep.
Because they've been beaten. It seems like they've been beating easy teams. But the Browns are a team everyone has pegged for the playoffs, and that is a playoff team that the Browns have. Cardinals just went in there and made quick work of them.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel fluky. It feels like it's legit. Kyler Murray threw 4 touchdowns. I know the Browns are a little beat up, and Baker's dealing with a shoulder injury, but they got to him a number of times. They forced a number of turnovers. Like, this was a real win by a complete team. And you know what? You know who's winning out big time on this is J.J. Watt. He has found the right team. This could be a Super Bowl team. This could be. It's a little early. We'll see it down the stretch. But this could be a Super Bowl team. We'll see. Very, very difficult division. And it's a very difficult conference. But you never know.
It definitely feels playoff bound.
Definitely playoff bound.
That's already a good moment for them.
Yeah, and that's half the battle. Get to the playoffs, see where it goes. There's a lot of landmines, man. I mean, it is just a loaded conference. But at least J.J. Watt didn't go to some basement dwelling, we're not as good as the other teams in our division team. This is the best team in the toughest division in football.
Yeah.
And Arizona does
definitely,
at least
they didn't go
right.
to the Steelers.
Right, exactly. He'd be mired in mediocrity with celebrating wins against, Geno Smith-led Seahawks. Right, exactly. I was trying to think of his name, and I'm glad you saved me there. I forgot who was the starter of the Seahawks.
Didn't yeah.
I at least almost beat, still almost beat him.
At least the Steelers can still beat Geno.
Right, that's right. They can still beat Geno is right. All right, the bottom five when we come back as Wake Up Call continues on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, this is the worst of the worst in the National Football League as we go up from 28 all the way to 32. 28. They didn't play, so they couldn't disappoint me anymore. But this is where I put the Jets. The Jets had an impressive win against Tennessee, but that's really it. I don't know if Robert Saleh is going to be a good coach, and I don't know if Zach Wilson is going to be a good quarterback. But I feel like they're better than the other four teams that I've put on this list. So I had to have somebody to start out with. So why not the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets? Sorry, Jake.
No, don't be sorry. This is where I had the Jets as well.
Yeah.
It's almost like you didn't want to punish them because they were on a bye.
Right.
So it was almost like, I think I rewarded them because I think I moved them up a few notches because the teams that did play this weekend were a lot worse.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's the Jets. I mean, they're, they've only had one first half touchdown this season.
No.
Before they got, in London, Matt Ryan and the Falcons got 14 first downs before they got one. There's a big issue on offense. And I don't know if it's Robert Saleh's play calling or whoever's play calling on the offensive line, or if Zach Wilson was, just another one of those really, really good college quarterbacks.
I'm telling you right now, Robert Saleh has been under the radar in terms of national scrutiny because he certainly hasn't been getting it like Urban Meyer has been getting it. But
it might start
creeping in a little bit.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think if Urban Meyer wasn't Urban Meyer, if there was a head coach of Jacksonville that, didn't do this to himself.
Right.
I think, we wouldn't be giving the Jacksonville head coach a lot of scrutiny either. Because I think we're looking at both these guys. I mean, both of them came in at the same time. Both of them are dealing with brand new situations. They're rebuilding a team. They're dealing with rookie quarterbacks who need to cut their teeth in this league. It's just that Urban Meyer does things that, bring it on him. And we came in with a foul taste with Urban Meyer anyways.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. It's Robert Saleh is the guy that's like, he's the good assistant, great assistant that is looking to that next step up. Congratulations to him. Worked hard. Got, did a great job in San Francisco. Now gets a head coach job. Urban Meyer was like, all right, I'll grace you peasants with my presence again with by gunning back into coaching, this time at the NFL level. And I think we treat these guys completely different.
Yep.
All right, but number 29 on my list is Urban's team, Jacksonville. Well done, Jags, winning on the road against Miami. Miami deserves some more scrutiny for the crappy play of late. Jacksonville is still a bad team, don't get me wrong, but I did say yesterday that it was actually brilliant, that play, that fourth down throw that they made on third down in a tie game. Fourth down that they made to get the first down to set up the game-winning field goal was really brilliant. And it was the ability of Trevor Lawrence to get a quick pass off and their ability to get a timeout called quickly gave them more yards to kick the field goal. So hats off to them. But you still stink. That's why you're 29.
Yep. No, I had the Jaguars here as well because they were my bottom team last week, and they've been my bottom team the last couple of weeks. And now, you get a nice win. I mean, it was ugly, but a win's a win nonetheless. And this is how you get moved out of the top five. You're getting
That's
closer,
right.
or bottom five.
Get a win.
Closer, Jacksonville. Get another one out there.
Yeah, get another win, and then you might be out of the bottom five because there's other crappy teams.
Oh, there's a lot more.
There's a couple I didn't keep on. Yeah,
exactly.
Me too.
Took off my list.
Exactly.
So, Jacksonville, good on you. That was, you know, look at it this way. Trevor Lawrence is undefeated in London.
I know, right? That's his home territory now. That's
his home
place.
Territory.
Number 30 on my list. This is where I put the Giants. Now, there are a little bit of here. No Saquon Barkley. Kenny Golladay was out. Daniel Jones was returning from a concussion. Other than that, they got spanked by the LA Rams. I mean, destroyed. This wasn't close. It wasn't even, like, close in the beginning and got away from them. They were absolutely blown out of MetLife Stadium. Salvaged a few points here, but Joe Judge has got a disaster, absolute disaster. The general manager is bad. The head coach is bad. The team is bad. The quarterback is bad. This might be blow it up completely and restart from scratch with everything if you're the Maras. That might be where the Giants are heading because it is not getting good. It is not getting better. Despite what Joe Judge says, it is looking really awful.
See, I don't have the Giants in my bottom five, but I do have a similar storyline.
Okay.
And basically, everything you just said, all you got to do is switch Giants out with Dolphins.
You know what? I wanted so badly to put the Dolphins in the bottom five, listen, and I should have.
The Dolphins, all they had to do was just, you know, go to London, win. Tua, this is your coming out year. This is the year you're supposed to prove that you're an NFL quarterback, and you have not done so yet. You had a pass that might have been the ugliest one in NFL history. I'm not 100% sure because I don't know who you were throwing it to, except there was a Jacksonville Jaguar player who almost looked shocked. I wouldn't have blamed him for not catching that interception.
Oh, I know.
Because you don't expect the ball to be thrown to you when you're on defense. And that's exactly what happened. It was as if he got mixed up with the color uniform and just said, oh, I'm going to throw it to that guy. He's open.
Brian Flores threw his headset down. Like, I can't believe I just lost
to this team. It was a Gronk spike.
I cannot believe I just lost to this team. And my season is now in the toilet. We're 1-5.
Yep.
We stink. We were supposed to be competitive. Like, are we building a championship team? We gave away all of our picks. Jared Dubin said yesterday, right now, they're going to give the Philadelphia Eagles the number 2 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Right now.
Number 2.
Unbelievable. Ugh. What a joke. But you're right. I wanted so bad to put them on. Miami, I'm coming for you next week and because you're playing Atlanta. So I'm coming for you.
Yeah, that's another one. You better show up. If not, you know, just... I mean, I'm curious, though, is Flores on the hot seat?
Could be. This was a really make-or-break kind of season.
I know, but I mean, I really feel...
A lot of things are going against him.
I really feel like it's like Flores gets us would get a pass.
I think you could give him a second chance to get over this.
Or do you bench Tua now and just go, you know what, I want to win some games. I got to go with Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That could change, absolutely.
I feel really bad for Tua. I like Tua.
I do too.
Don't see it happening.
Wrong situation. Wrong situation. He's not in a building thing. It was a team that was already being built. 31, this is where I put Houston, but I don't know. I yell at the Giants for getting paid by the Rams to participate in a football game. That's exactly what the Texans should have got from the Indianapolis Colts. They should have gotten paid. Like, hey, here's $1 million to build a new rec center. Here's to increase your dining plan. Like something, some monetary transaction should have taken place between the Colts and the Texans because they got smoked too this weekend, and they've lost 5 in a row.
No, I'm with you. I'll talk about them in a second. Number 31 for me is the Lions.
Lions, yeah, okay.
Yes, I know the Lions haven't won a game.
Yeah,
what I think I'm most upset about with the Lions is that you and I both on Friday said I think this is a game that they will win.
I took my medicine Monday. I said I was so excited for this game that I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to pull it out. I thought don't sleep on this Lions team. They're like, coach is in tears. The team is playing hard.
Yeah.
Nah, not at all.
Yeah, so 31, 31 for me was the Lions.
Yeah.
32 was Lions for you?
Yeah, Lions for me.
Yeah, 32 for me was the Texans.
Okay.
Only because of this one stat. You ready for it?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
They've lost 5 straight. They've been outscored 71-3 in their last 2 road games.
Ugh.
71-3.
Oh. no.
Yeah, I don't know. We all were ready to say David Culley is a revelation at the beginning of the season with week one win against the Jaguars. Little
not
did we know.
Really. Yeah, not really. Oh, my goodness. All right. Wilson Alexander from Baton Rouge is going to join us next. We'll talk at Orgeron.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as many of you know, over the weekend, Ed Orgeron and LSU are going to part ways at the end of the season. Just 2 years ago, they won a national championship with Joe Burrow, and a lot of people have said that that team might have been the best college football team ever put together. Wilson Alexander joins us from the Baton Rouge Advocate. There must be more to this, right? Well, we'll find out on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Wilson?
I'm good. How are you this morning, Tony?
Good. So for a lot of people around the country who kind of who observe LSU sort of, you know, kind of like, well, you know, just kind of through a simple lens, it may look like, well, those fans in the SEC are just never satisfied. It's what you've done for me lately. How much of that is true, and how much of it is stuff that people aren't seeing on a daily basis outside of the region?
Well, it's certainly a combination of a few different things going on. You know, for starters, it is the on-field product. I mean, 9-8 over the last, you know, 1.5 seasons or so now, just doesn't cut it at LSU. And the way that they've gone 9-8 doesn't cut it at LSU. And Scott Woodward was asked about sort of a potential factor with how Ed Orgeron mishandled the social, a protest last year. The team skipped practice and marched for social justice and racial inequality and against police brutality, and they didn't handle it very well. And that was certainly a factor here as well, but and how things soured between Ed and the administration and Ed and the team. But ultimately, you know, it was just they were 9-8 over the last 2 years, and bad coordinator hires that really didn't work out after the national championship. And it just sort of continued to go downhill. There's a lot of things off the field that just weren't going well, and they made it had, you know, Woodward didn't hire Ed and decided that it was time for him to make a change.
We'd always talk about this with athletic directors. They like to hire their own people. What was their relationship? Because again, as you mentioned, that's not the guy he hired, and Ed Orgeron was working for a guy that didn't bring him on board.
Yeah, I don't know the full inner workings of their relationship. They seem to have respect for each other. They certainly tried to come off as, you know, being friends, and you know, they're both Louisiana guys, and they understand this place as well as anybody. Scott Woodward is from Baton Rouge, and Orgeron, of course, from La Rose, and they sort of had that connection. But there was certainly near the end here not a perfect relationship, because, you know, Scott decided it was time to make a change. And, he likes to get his track record is that he likes to kind of get his own coaches in there at his other stops. So he's certainly done that at A&M and at Washington. And when it wasn't meeting the standard that they have, he wanted to get a new guy in there.
All right, there were a lot of people who looked at COVID last year and said, okay, players were opting out. It was a bizarre season. It was difficult. Practices were different. The way business was conducted was different. And a lot of schools, or at least a lot of conversation, were some coaches should just get a little bit of a pass or a little bit of an understanding. If you marry the national championship in 2019 with a 5-5 season at LSU that may or may not have had a lot of COVID impact, and the fact that you lost some key players, of course, how did we get to a point where we're really just halfway done with the season and he's out? Was there a little bit of grace period in 2020 for him at 5-5 with COVID, or are they pretty mad at 5-5 no matter what the heck that was going on in the world?
Mad at 5-5 no matter what was going on in the world, because you saw other teams like Alabama and A&M and Georgia and, you know, sort of handle it just fine. LSU did not. And you know, there was a little bit of willingness to maybe not totally write it off, but to give them a chance this year. You know, if they were 6-1 or 7-0 right now, you know, they would have been like, okay, well, that was an anomaly and, you know, strange year and all that. But so many of the issues that arrived in that 2020 season were just clearly apparent again here in 2021. When you look at on the field, you know, the on-field product, it was similar in a lot of ways. And it showed you that, okay, it wasn't just because of all the things that happened in 2020 affecting, you know, so much of the world. It was that this program isn't, and at least even new Scott Woodward and the decision makers at LSU, that it wasn't headed in the right direction because, you know, you had still the missed assignments and the coverage busts and little things like, I mean, the offense was struggling to call plays that before the play clock expired. And that's just a sign of bad organization that wasn't going to fly.
How will he be remembered? I mean, national championships are really hard to win, and there is one with his name on it. Can he just hang out in Baton Rouge for a couple of years and just live off being Ed Orgeron?
Probably not completely. The last 2 years really soured the opinion on Ed, and that is unfortunate because, like you said, it's hard to win a national championship. And some people want to seem to make revisionist history around here that, oh, well, you know, it almost makes the comparison to Gene Chizik. Well, that's not quite it, because Gene Chizik never finished, like, in the AP Top 25 without Cam Newton. They had a really good year in 2018 as well when he missed the Fiesta Bowl. They had an okay year, not great because they lost to Troy, but still a fine year in his first season in 2017. It's just the last two just went downhill so fast. But that 2019 season created so many wonderful memories for people here. And he was the designer of that. I mean, he found Joe Brady and got him from the Saints. He recruited Joe Burrow when Joe Burrow wanted to leave Ohio State and convinced him to come to LSU, finally giving LSU a quarterback, something that it hadn't had in so long. He kept the staff together, and it was one magical season, and he wasn't able to sustain it. You know, I think certainly in time, people will still, right now they're upset because LSU isn't playing well, and that's a little bit embarrassing, but they're still so appreciative of that 2019 season. And ultimately, as the head coach, he was responsible in so many ways for that year. He just couldn't sustain the success once he had it. So he'll be remembered as a bit of a mixed bag, but that ultimately it got them what they wanted. You know, they won a title with Ed.
There was people were obviously who again aren't on, you know, on the ground in Baton Rouge, little shocked because it comes a day after they beat Florida on national TV, and people were like, wait a minute, hold on, he just won this game. Did LSU want to just make sure that everybody understood there was no saving here? Like, it doesn't matter if you win out. You're not going to be the head coach going into next season. You're not going to get a chance to just keep winning games and then we change our mind.
Yeah, exactly. And because negotiations on this started before the Florida game. As we understand, you know, this was something that had sort of been in the works for a little bit, particularly once they lost two in a row to Auburn, and then that Kentucky game really just did it. The day after the, you know, Kentucky game was Scott Woodward came to Ed, and they Ed sort of said, realized that, you know, he knew it was time, and they think they began to discuss, you know, and negotiated an ouster here and how that was going to work and what that was going to look like in terms of financial figures and all that. And they ended up coming, you know, finalizing that sort of all around in the days around the Florida game, and then obviously sort of finishing it up, I guess, and signing all the paperwork on Sunday. And so it was kind of, you know, looking back on it, realizing that it was kind of like, wow, how did they even beat Florida with all this going on, especially because it's a team that has so many injuries and depleted in so many ways and flawed, and yet they somehow still beat Florida in the midst of this, which, I mean, credit to the players and the assistants in particular for making that happen. And they weren't going to, they didn't want to drag this out any longer. Scott knew what he wanted to do, and he was able to get everything in place, even regardless of the outcome of the next few games, which even if it would be still shocking if LSU, finished 7-5 at this point. So they weren't going to just let this linger.
I get this next question is apples and oranges here, but there is some overreaching thing I want to get to is, here's Ed Orgeron, he wins a national championship. There's a lot of off-the-field stuff. They're not winning enough games. But in a very short time, he's out. How does that compare to Will Wade's situation with basketball and the wiretapping that he gets suspended, gave some money back, but he's still the head coach there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't really sat down and thought too long about it, but I guess with Wade, the situation is, you know, there is no notice of allegation that has come down from the NCAA yet. That investigation is still ongoing and hasn't been wrapped up yet. And in the meantime, LSU is still winning games. And that's kind of what things come down to around here. Are you winning or are you not? And they are. This is probably the best basketball program has been in quite some time. And some would argue one of the best stretches in school history right now. And as long as they keep winning, and as long as the investigation isn't over, Will Wade will be the coach. That's not going to change. When that could change is if a notice of allegations comes down, because there's a clause in Wade's contract that was implemented after he was suspended a few years ago, and all the wiretapping stuff came out, that if they get a notice of level one or level two violations from the NCAA, that he could be fired without cause, for cause, or without one of those. He wouldn't have to pay the buyout. And that's kind of the big difference here.
All right. Wilson, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. I know it's gotten a lot of big national buzz now, and you kind of helped us understand a little bit more what's going on in Baton Rouge. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you for having me. I'll have a great day.
You too. Wilson Alexander, Baton Rouge advocate on the Ed Orgeron situation. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the two situations with those two coaches at LSU next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, thanks to Wilson Alexander for joining us, Baton Rouge advocate. All right, so the reason I asked that last question between Ed Orgeron and Will Wade, and I get it, basketball and football, totally different things, totally different passions. That maybe down, you know, at the core of this is, remember Will Wade's situation was he was caught on a wiretap offering money to a recruit, right? Now, this is when you couldn't do those kind of things, right? But he got suspended. He paid back part of his deal. There's an investigation going into it, right? I mean, obviously now we live in a whole different world, but back then we didn't. But Will Wade, he produces 20 win seasons. I mean, last year they went 18-9, but they, 25 wins a couple of years ago. They went 21-10 before the tournament was canceled. He's producing 20 win seasons on the college basketball court. You're not just going to find another guy that's just going to do that. Ed Orgeron, it really does come down to, yes, off the field issues were a big deal. He's rubbed too many people the wrong way, but wins could have saved him. Winning could have, it saved Will Wade. Let's not forget this. There is a wiretap with his voice on it offering money to get a recruit, right? It's a large sum of money. He was frustrated with the situation. He's on tape discussing this, right? And he's still there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Wins and keeping your program relevant.
Right.
They'll save your job every time.
I mean, last year LSU played in the championship game of the SEC tournament, right? I mean, like they're a good basketball team. As Wilson said, they're probably the best basketball team LSU's had since Dale Brown.
I'll take it a step further that wins and, you know, keeping your program relevant, keeping your recruiting numbers up, even if the story leaks that you and LSU are having a falling out, another college will be right there to swoop in and go, here's the contract, sign.
Right, exactly.
And you're literally, maybe you take a week off from work.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
But right now, it's like, I don't even know if Ed Ogeron's going to, I mean, he'll be offered something somewhere, but is it going to be relevant?
Yeah, I think these stories that are coming out about this off-the-field stuff and his attitude and the way, I mean, yeah. he might need to chill for a little bit before anybody hires him quickly. Right, they might bring him on as a coordinator or recruiter. He's a very good recruiter, really good recruiter. But a head coach right now, he's going to get a head coaching job, but he needs to just chill out a little bit. Just get out of the spotlight for a bit or two. But yes, wins couldn't save him. Like, wins couldn't just take some of this stuff and go, yeah, this is bad, but my God, we're winning 10 games a year and competing for the national championship. Right? Will Wade has got a team that is competitive on the national level in college basketball. That's why he's able to withstand an NCAA investigation. And I got to be honest with you, even if they find something, in this day and age of college athletics now, I think LSU goes, what are you going to do? And keep them. All right, Den Day's coming up next. Thanks for being part of the show. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back at 7 a.m. Eastern time right here on Wake Up Call.